Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, a little thing you say and do make me want to be with you. Rain on it, crazy feeling, and I know it got me reeling when you say I love you. Rain on it, the way you said to end.
Buddy Holly and the Crickets there. It's one of my favourites, actually. Probably my favourite group named after insects. Except Adam and the Ants, they were pretty good. But I don't know if they made it over the pond, but they were pretty awesome. I'll have to dig out some Adam and the Ants. That was pretty good. But yeah, a bit of Buddy Holly, Rave On. Thanks to Paul McCartney, who actually owns the rights to all of Buddy Holly's back catalogue. Bless him, which is kind of retribution for Michael Jackson's estate owning most of his songs. A little bit of history there, people. So it's episode 23, my giddy aunt. Thursday night again. Come round a bit quick this week. Yeah, 1 minute it's Monday, then it's Thursday. Back to the weekend, of course. It's the rundown to good old Chris. I like a bit of Christmas, to be honest. No, I don't really. I'm at that age where now where Christmas is a lot of a chore. So the sparkle and the delight, you know, the childlike delight is sort of melted somewhat. Unless I'm just getting old and cynical, I guess. But there you go. Anyway, I was looking out the window earlier. There's a guy, and one of the neighbours, a strange, sad-faced little old man, walks up and down three times a day, walking down the sidewalk there, swinging a bag of, he's obviously responsible, swinging a bag of poop in a Walmart bag with poop in it. Doesn't have a dog, so I think they'll be coming to take him away very soon. And I mean, speaking of dogs, she will kill me for that. Speaking of swinging bags of poop around, I think Xtina should be with us.
I'm going to take control of the controls one of these days, and you're going to be sorry. speaking of dog poop, what now? Okay, anyway.
Speaking of dogs, which you would have meant me, you beating me up nastily.
Oh,
but,
yeah. I'm on my second glass of wine, so I'm not going to be too mad right now. So, you know.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, when I listen back to the show tomorrow, I may be more upset. So, you know.
Yeah, well, I know, but I think what you have to factor in there is I couldn't care less, be honest. Really don't care. Oh, how are you?
How
are you?
Tell me how you feel, James.
you wouldn't want that, trust me. So how are you? Have you had a good week, my dear?
I've had an okay week. You know, it's been okay. But, you know, I agree with you that it was just Monday, and now we're at Thursday. So I don't know.
Time is compressing, which means technically we could be getting close to a big hole and a big hole. Back to my ex again. Getting close to a black hole and nobody's told us. But
that's kind of scary. But I don't doubt something like that. I really don't. And as far as the Christmas thing, I'm not in the Christmas spirit quite yet. I'm really not. And as soon as Halloween was over with, I would start getting excited because, then you got Thanksgiving and then there's Christmas and it was all such a jolly time for me. And now I'm just kind of like, bah, humbug. I really am. And it's not me. I mean, normally I'm the gay one who's running around the house, turning on every single radio to the, the Christmas music. And I hate
Christmas music. Really. I don't like Christmas music at all. I think there's one Christmas song, and we will play some Christmas music on our show just before Christmas. There's one that I do like, and that's it, just one. How the hell are we going to let you pick the other ones? Because I just couldn't. Unless I played this one three times, I don't know. But hey, exciting thing happened to me today. I got an email from Amazon, books you would like to read, and top of the list was one of mine.
Yay! I bet you would like to read that, wouldn't you?
Was Peed, my creature book, available from Black Bedsheet Books from Amazon and all good outlets. I'm going to have to sit and read it. It's a bloody good read, actually. It's a bloody good read. I enjoy writing it. I'm going to sit and read it one day. Sit on the toilet, I think, probably, and read it.
I still have to read it, and I feel so bad. I did start, though, I loved it. I did. I mean, I loved the whole
feeling. You love the picture.
Yes. I love the details, the picture was kind of cool, too. But, no, I definitely do have to read it because I do love your writing. I read The Erotic Odyssey of Colin Forshé, and I just loved it, so I'm sure I'll love P just as well. It is a really thick book, too, though,
Well, it's because it's got a lot of words in it.
It's got a lot of words in it.
It's got a lot of words in it, yeah. That's why it's a fake book. I'm guessing. I'm not an expert, to be honest, but I'm thinking that's probably why. Yeah, it's not like just a few really big words or big font. It's just a lot of words in the book. So it's value for money, people. It is value for money. I don't like, you buy a book and you've read it in like 20 minutes. And, I've spent $11 on that and, that's rubbish. Yeah. It's rubbish.
But then again, you can write two bigger books like Stephen King's Under the Dome. And then, you can't even pick the thing up because it,
I have been known, especially if I'm going on vacation or whatnot, I have been known to buy a book purely on the thickness of the book because I know it's going to take me. I'm a fast reader, and I can get through books like nobody's business, Margaret both volumes of Margaret Thatcher's autobiography during trips to the toilet, actually. It took me a few months, but I ploughed through her entire autobiography. Maybe I spent too long, not too much time on the toilet. That could be a problem. Anywho, we have a show.
We do.
Do we? See, nobody tells me anything. We have a couple of great guests. Our first guest is, I'm going to try and pronounce this, Stephen Kozinowski.
I'm hoping that you did that wrong because, I do try really hard to pick out, people with crazy last names just for you.
I know you do. Well,
now.
I know, thank you. Let's ask Stephen if I got his name, I hope I do. Stephen, are you there, sir?
I am here.
Did I get your name somewhere close?
Yeah, pretty close.
Awesome, thank you.
Man,
I am a Brit, so So how are you this evening, Stephen?
Oh, so that was the British pronunciation.
Yes. Yes, I'm going to stick with that. not just a bad pronunciation.
Then you did it perfect. Yes.
for a Yorkshire fella. So thank you for joining us, Stephen, on this very, very cold. It's cold where I am. Is it cold where you are at the moment?
Yeah, it just got really chilly today. I'm here in central Pennsylvania, and it just kind of hit the winter time just recently.
Yeah, cool. You'll probably be getting snow at some point soon, yeah?
Yeah, should be soon.
Mm-hmm. Something we don't get a lot of. In fact, so I've been in Houston 6 years. We've never had snow in Houston. I think about 10 years ago, I think people said that they had a smattering of snow, but we're not known for snow here, unfortunately. And I miss it. Just before we left England, we had a massive, massive chunk of snow in the early part of the year. So much so, like, the roads are closed, and, you know, it must have had a good foot and a half of snow, which was unprecedented even for there. But I miss it. I want snow. I'm going to buy a snow machine. That's something. I'm going to change up a snow machine, yeah.
Yeah, so, I much prefer the...
Oh, Xtina, you're just butting in, aren't you?
I prefer the cold than the hot. I lived way too long in Florida, and it was way too hot all the time. So I much prefer to be chilly, to be cold. You can always put more layers on. There's only so much you can take off. So
I like the heat. I think I'm getting to the age now where I like to be warm.
Yeah, so if it's under, what is it, if it's under 75, you're cold, is that how it is, James?
Well, me? No, I'm from Yorkshire. It's going to be below freezing before we put a coat on.
Okay, well, I thought, you know, that you're getting older and everything, it's different now.
I'm not that old, okay? So, Steam's here. Just be quiet. She's between you and me, Steam. She has been drinking, so.
Okay.
Hunter of the Dead, Stephen, sounds intriguing. Tagline reads, a complex tapestry of blood and violence. No sparkly vampires here. Excellent. These undead are definitely hardcore. Tell us more, sir.
Yeah, that was the review I got from Cemetery Dance. And this is the story. This was kind of, I actually started it in about maybe 2002, 2003. So I wasn't really reacting to Twilight just yet, but a lot of people made that comparison. Oh, it's a reaction to Twilight. It wasn't quite that. It was more kind of like Underworld and Queen of the Damned and when those kind of movies were starting to come out.
Yeah.
And I said, these are certainly interesting movies, but they're not really vampire movies. Looking at the old, you know, kind of Eastern European mythology. And so I kind of set out to write a novel that would kind of take the vampires back to their roots and write, you know, kind of a hardcore horror novel. It seems so far the reviews have been pretty good, so it seems like I did all right, I guess.
Excellent. No, well, the funny thing, I've been watching the Twilight movies with my daughter because she was that age, she wanted to see them. We got up to the halfway through episode five. And you're right, that's not vampires. It's just all, you know, for me, I mean, I grew up on the Hammer horror films, Christopher Lee, the Bela Lugosi, the proper vampires, you know. The sparkly ones that come out in the daylight, no, it's just not. So well done for doing it, for making an antidote to that.
Well, thank you.
I did like Twilight, but I do agree they're not, you know, really vampires. But you know, because I grew up on like The Lost Boys. Now those were good vampires.
Yeah, that was a great film. And Salem's Lot as well. You know, brilliant.
Yep.
Brilliant vampires. Fright Night was good. Yes. Which version though? The Roddy McDowall original version was, I think, was better.
Which one did you think was better?
Roddy McDowall, the original version.
Definitely. I did watch the remake, but I was like, oh, this is bad, because I absolutely love the original was great. And I had a huge crush on was it Jerry Dandridge, I think, was the vampire's name. I thought he was pretty hot. So. No, but no.
Yeah, what can you say to that?
Yeah, and then of course the Lost Boys, didn't they come out with
it was not very well received, I don't think.
Yeah, I never even saw it. I kind of figured it would never be as good as the original, so I didn't even bother with it.
There you go. Give it a chance. That's what I like to hear. So Stephen, why vampires, Stephen? Is it something that's always fascinated you?
Yeah, I remember being a little kid and kind of going down to the library and checking out the books on, and that was kind of where I got this kind of, where it kind of stuck in my craw, because I always read the old books where they talked about, there would be a village and they would burn the vampire at the stake and bury his head at a crossroads. And there's all this kind of like this deep lore and mythology, and
yeah.
I kind of got lost in that as a kid. And yeah, even things like what you guys are talking about, like, Near Dark and The Lost Boys and some of those vampire movies back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stephanie Mayer, I think, has got a lot to answer for. I mean, she did for vampires what E.L. James did for BDSM, to be honest with you. So
oh,
I guess, sure. I guess it's playing to a market. It's sanitizing it to a certain point. But in fact, it's funny enough, I don't know if you ever saw The Simpsons did a great parody episode of Twilight, and that was good. Yeah, that's probably better than the Twilight movies, to be honest. But my daughter's 7 and she loves them. Although we watched the fourth movie, and for an hour it was just wedding and sex and very uncomfortable hour with me and my daughter. That, to be honest with you.
Right.
You know, that's what the other movies were missing, as far as I was concerned, though, was because I read the books before I saw the movie. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I know, but I read the books first, and that's what I kept waiting for him just to like throw her down and ravish her, but that just never happened. So, I understand there were high school kids, so she was, so I get it, but. I wasn't a high school kid, so I wanted the sex, and it just wasn't happening.
I mean, you were watching the wrong films then, I'm afraid. Well, that's the thing. I mean, the old Hammer horror films were with Ingrid Pitt, Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing, they were dripping with sex. I mean, some of them were almost like softcore porn, but Christopher Lee for me will always be Dracula. I mean, he was it. He was the man. So, is other than vampires, Stephen, is there anything else that that catches your fancy? Are you a hardcore vampire guy?
This is my first vampire novel. I did a hardcore novel about zombies. And I've also kind of started to branch out into science fiction. I did kind of a dystopian 1984 novel about clones. Like Fahrenheit 451, 1984, Brave New World kind of thing.
Oh, cool. Yeah, brilliant.
And, so I've had a little bit of variety. This is actually my first vampire novel, but I didn't want to kind of tackle it until I could think of something, like kind of a new spin to put on it. Because, vampires have been done to death, and I will tackle this at some point, but not until I have something new to say.
Yeah. So, what is the unique spin? I mean, obviously, without giving spoilers away, what unique spin did you have you brought to it?
Well, I think what I did with my vampires was I had them. I kind of looked at the fact that vampires are immensely strong, and I said, well, if vampires are really this strong, then they wouldn't fight in the way when you think about. A fight that you might see between two vampires on TV, they might like, rawr, and like bat at each other a little bit. I said, well, if vampires are immensely strong as they're supposed to be, every fight should be like bone breaking. You should be able to be like cutting people in half and having them regenerate and trying to fight to outpace the regeneration kind of thing. So
yeah,
I really kind of brought a brutality to the, the fights and that kind
of
thing.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Again, back to Twilight, you know, because there's some fighting in that. But no, that is a good point. I mean, for as strong as they are, then, yeah, I like that. I like a bit of, you know, realism. You know, it's certainly with the violence, you know, a lot of people sort of, they will hold back. A lot of writers will hold back from portraying it. But no, I like that. I like that. So that's, I guess, making vampires... I guess probably this is a juxtaposition, making them more real, I guess, in some respects, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's kind of a suspension of disbelief that, you know, there's an immortal being with infinite strength and that kind of thing, but yeah, I did kind of, maybe I would say more gritty than realistic, but more like kind of down in the weeds, down in the dirt, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, sorry, Xtina, were you... What would you want to say, my dear?
I was going to ask Stephen if he had a reading for us.
I do. Do you want me to go ahead and start?
Yes, please.
Okay. So this is right from the very beginning of the book, and the book's called The Hunter of the Dead, and this is the introduction of The Hunter of the Dead. Okay. So there's a couple of characters here, Scav or Scavatelli, and Mick Vicker is his friend, and Miranda is the vampire hunter. Okay.
Yep, go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Scav hissed and leapt at her. As though she had been struck by a bolt of lightning, she was suddenly on her back. Both hands pinned to the floor and her weapons clattering away out of reach. The blow had knocked the wind out of her, and as she fought the panic of being unable to draw in oxygen, she struggled. But she wasn't even a rag doll in his grasp. She was like a butterfly, already pinned to a board. Then, like a tiny miracle, oxygen flooded into her lungs, and she took a deep gasp. It had seemed an eternity, though she knew it had really only been a few seconds, and her wits finally returned to her. But looking up, she wondered why the killing blow still hadn't come. But Scav wasn't even paying attention to her. The vampire was staring at the door. She glanced back down the aisle and saw McVicker, Cashley, and the six newborns all staring at the doorway too, paused in mid-movement like a VHS tape. That, more than anything, brought a sinking feeling to Miranda's stomach. The sound of a horse snuffling cut through Miranda's torso like a knife. Defying all the boogeymen in her intestines screaming at her not to look, she turned her head toward the entranceway and caught sight first of the black hooves dripping a substance so dark it must have been tar, but she feared that it was not. Over her head, in a child's voice, Scav whispered, "Il cacciatore del morto." Miranda blinked and strained her neck to see the rest of the dark figure. The horse was black on black, with black eyes that didn't even seem to reflect the moonlight. The man astride the charger was sealed in a wall of black plate armor, festooned with spikes and barbs. No mortal could have carried such armor. It must have weighed 2 tons. Like the horse's hair, the man's armor dripped with dark, syrupy substance. The high helmet he wore had 2 long, curved horns, but otherwise it was nearly impossible to pick out any part of it. He had all the appearance of a blob of fresh black ink that had somehow been smeared on the landscape. He held a bastard sword in one hand, and the other, seemingly defying the laws of physics, he held a long, pointed lance, weighed down with what had to be 12 corpses. From the hilt to the tip, stacked one on top of each other, each of Cashley's remaining wives and concubines, at least 15 of them or so, had been pierced directly through the heart, blood soaked through their gray jumpsuits. Their feud forgotten, Miranda and Scav rose to their feet. The horse slowly cantered into the temple. As it did, the knight merely shifted his lance, lifting it up into the air at a downward-sloping angle. Alice's body toppled from the lance first. Peggy's followed. And with barely a shake, the bodies of 12 or more of Cashley's followers fell from the mounted figure's lance and formed a trail behind him, like Hansel and Gretel's breadcrumbs. Cashley was the first to regain his senses. He cowered, pushing his brides into a semicircular shield wall in front of him. "I warned you. I warned you, McVicker. Everyone's scared of a serial killer, but now you see what's really happening." The knight raised his lance in McVicker's direction, as though lining up a gigantic pool cue for a difficult shot. Scav seemed to realize what was about to happen. "No! Scav, don't!" Scab flew through the air like a bird of prey, dropping onto an unsuspecting rodent, but its trajectory was immediately arrested. Without looking in his direction, the knight lashed out with his blade and sliced cleanly through Scab's neck with a single stroke. His head came to a rest, balanced on the outstretched blade, while his torso crumpled to the floor. "You motherfucker," McVicker roared, dropping to his knees. His face remained dry, but Miranda could have sworn he was weeping. He was unable to produce tears, one of the many dark in-betweens of being a vampire. The horse reared back on its hind legs. Like a wave, the great darkling mass poured down the aisle. Even with the preternatural speed of his kind, McVicker couldn't get out of the way before the figure was upon him. The Black Knight's lance struck true, and the force of the blow impaled McVicker practically up to the hilt. Miranda had never seen a vampire actually killed with a stake to the heart. It was nearly impossible, a joke. Practically every vampire wore a piece of armor across their chest. And judging by the glint of metal around the hole in McVicker's body, Dignari Fixter had been no exception. Miranda's mouth hung open as it occurred to her that the mysterious knight had pierced through an inch of plate metal and Kevlar, not to mention a man's ribcage, with a single stroke. There was no way. Was it possible? Was this really the semi-mythic hunter of the dead? The knight sat there astride his horse, holding up Scab's sire bottle, not half a meter from his featureless mask. He seemed to be examining McVicker like a diner looking at his hair and soup. Then he lifted his lance over his head and snapped it forward like a bullwhip. The crumpled mask that had been McVicker flew off and smashed into the rear wall of the chapel, a few feet above Cashley's head. "Protect me," Cashley shrieked, ducking down so that his brides formed a barrier in front of him, and stumbling off toward the hole they had punched through the black wall. The bastard's sword cut an arc through the air and bifurcated one of the brides through her waist, sending her torso toppling forward before the blade passed through the back of the crouching Cashley's head. Cashley's corpse crumpled into a heap. His hasty retreat ended before it had even begun. The five brides, whose legs remained attached to their bodies, tripped over one another, trying to flee through the hole in the back wall. But that, too, was no avail. The knight was upon them in an instant, skewering hearts and ripping heads from their bodies with only his gauntleted hands. When those five were dealt with, he turned to look for the top half of the bride who had been split in two. She was scrabbling away on her palms. The knight raised his lance. "No, no, 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 no," the bride began muttering. With a furious slam, he brought the lance down through the middle of her chest, snapping the tip of the weapon with the force of the blow and sending it hurtling away to embed itself in one of the walls. The lance was so heavy that when he let it go, it toppled to the ground and raised the half vampire off the floor. She strained and struggled to pull herself free of the impaling lance, but her efforts were either in vain or too slow. The knight dismounted, retrieved his bastard sword from Cashley's severed head, and lopped through her brain pan at nose level. Then, as if some eldritch and terrible god had cast its eye upon her, Miranda saw the horns of the knight's helmet turning in her direction. In that instant, she became certain that this was the legendary hunter of the dead. Even weighed down with so much armor, the hunter was upon her in a split second, and pressing his dripping sword to Miranda's breast. I'm on your side," she said, holding up her wrist to display her tattoo. "I'm an inquisitor. We hunt." The blade drove into Miranda's sternum and exited just as quickly, drawing a trail of crimson through the air like an exploding firework.
Oh no! That's it. Oh no! No, you can't. Oh, not Miranda. I said, no, you can't. No, come on.
No, I was my breath when you did that.
I literally was holding my breath. That was beautifully read as well, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to ask, but I'm not. I'm going to have to read this myself because I don't want to spoiler alert. But that was great. I mean, I know you get what you said about it being certainly gritty. You know, you don't shy away from the detail, and I love that. I'm a critic, Dean will tell you from my work, you know, I'm a big, big detail person, and it's there. I love that. Yeah. This is Hunter of the Dead is available now, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, it's on Amazon, and you can also find it on Sinister Grin Press, that's the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Paperback, awesome. And ebook.
Okay, all the usual outlets, yeah. And do you have a website you want to you want to give a plug to?
Sure. My blog is Manuscripts Burn, manuscriptsburn.blogspot.com. And that's kind of my hub.
Awesome.
And you can find all my social media and everything through there.
Awesome.
Everything's on
that.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much, Stephen, for coming on the show. And will you come back and see us?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah. I don't think Xtina realizes that people can actually see us. She says that every week. You see us now. It's radio. You know, it's not a visual medium. So there's that. Stephen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Hopefully, we've not scared you off too much.
It's been a delight.
we just need to get on top of Xtina's drinking problem. To be fair, she doesn't have a drinking problem.
Right.
She has no problem drinking at all, obviously. So
it's been
an absolute pleasure. So thank you for sharing that with us. I'm gonna get me a copy because I need to know what happens to Miranda
right.
you can't kill Miranda off like that. If you do, that's just yeah. No, brilliant. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, thanks, Stephen.
Bye-bye. So, Xtina, before we have a break and, you know, my wee-wee time, I'm again that age now, you have a commercial or two? Or one? Or whatever. Do you have anything? Do you? Have you prepared anything?
I don't have a whole lot. I have, can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com. I also, in the mood for something steamy to read this holiday season, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. That's JenniferLynne erotica.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media, our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Yay. Now you can breathe.
Okay.
There you go. You can breathe now. Okay, right. We're going to play a tune so I can go to the toilet, basically. I'm a slave to my bladder. I really am. We will be right back.
Stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms. Together.
of Bobby Darin there, Beyond the Sea. I love that song because it's about sailing. Although, to be honest, I don't actually like boats because boats sink. Like, I've seen Titanic. We've all seen Titanic and the damn thing sank. So I was just thinking there whilst I was... Hang on. Oh, whatever. I forgot, didn't I? I've forgotten. It's the President-elect.
Grab him by the pussy.
Thank you, Mr. President-elect, Mr. Trump. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. Now, I was thinking, anybody who's seen... in fact, I'm going to bring Xtina in on this one because we're brainstorming for the show for the new year. Obviously, Trump will be on every week. I was saying, I don't know if you've ever seen James Corden's show. He's a British comedian, great comedian, very funny guy, has his show. And he has a feature on there called Carpool Karaoke. I think I've mentioned this before. And he had Madonna on, I think, this week. And they come and they literally drive in the car and sing karaoke in the car, which is a great little gimmick. Now, I was thinking, and I think maybe we could put this, ask the listener, ask him what he thinks. We could do sort of radio show jigsaw puzzles.
I don't know how that would work.
I think it's a great idea. You know, we get our guest stars come on and we do jigsaw puzzles on the air. I think it could be a winner. It could be a winner.
I'm thinking, you know, if I had enough wine, I guess I would, you know.
You would, wouldn't you? Puzzle. You would do that.
Yeah.
I could just say, I've got a bit of sky.
I think I have a corner.
I have some sky here. I will do all the straight edges. So we have bit of an announcement actually before we our second guest, April Baker, USA Today best-selling author, which is awesome. I know she's been on before, but I haven't met her. I was during my had a brief sabbatical, so I've missed her. Yeah, I missed her then. So I'm looking forward to talking with April. I know we alluded to it last week, so I'm sure our listener has been on the edge of his seat all week. Bless him. And either he's died, one of the two. The show has a new sponsor. We have a new publisher called Hellbound Books. They are be sponsoring the show. Be hearing more from them as they as time goes by. And we should get that song. That was a great song from Casablanca there. Hellbound Books. Watch out, hellboundbookspublishing.com for their newly emerging website. Still work in progress, but they're bringing on some fantastic independent authors, yours truly included. And Xtina's book is, I believe, found a home there, yeah?
Yes, sir. Yes, it has.
Yes, dark musings and light musings, almost like, you know, dark chocolate and light chocolate.
But, is there light chocolate? I don't think there's light chocolate. It's white chocolate, but, you know.
But no, there's dark chocolate. There's milk chocolate, which is like middle.
Uh-huh.
And then the white chocolate. And I don't like white chocolate. I don't like it.
You know,
chocolate.
The crap they have now I don't like too much. When I was younger, they had this one candy bar that was called Alpine White Chocolate. Now, that was really good, but I don't like it now, so... I don't know what they did to it, but they did have some that was good. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I do like my chocolate, I have to say.
One of our listeners is saying, it's not real chocolate. That's, you know.
It is not real chocolate, no. American chocolate is not real. Luckily, obviously, the British chocolate is coming over now, Cadbury's especially. Cadbury's Dairy Milk is the best chocolate ever.
Yeah.
End of argument. Anybody wants to argue, I will duke it out with anybody who wants to fight that one. It is fine chocolate. Anywho, we have an awesome, awesome guest lined up, April Baker, and hopefully, AT&T willing, she's there. Are we there, April?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yay. Hello. Yeah, there's that horrible bit of silence. So it's just teasing. Teasing us. How are you this evening, April? Are you well?
I'm actually a little sick this evening, but I promised Christina that I would be on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So here I am.
she basically, so she bullied you into being on the show.
Yes.
She bullied you. Well, thank you for giving in to that. reading the notes like Christina sent me here. Got the book, The Ghost Files, version 4, part 1. Which releases later this month. Tagline, she couldn't think of one for the book. Xtina's actually written that. Can you believe that?
Oh, my God.
Sloppy. It's sloppy. That's what it is. Be honest. Not impressed. And the poor girl's sick as well. The poor girl is sick. But, April, thank you for joining us again. I said I missed you. We had Michael filling in for me. On the show you're on, so you must be a glutton for punishment. You've come back. Why did you do that? So tell us about Ghost Files. Oh, sorry, between, are you sure you're up to this?
I'm here, so I'm going to do my best to get through it. Got a little
go
bit
on,
of pneumonia going on. So.
If he gets too much, you do say. In fact, I'll tell you what, we can make Xtina do the reading if you want.
That's not funny. No. You know, James does really good reading, so. I don't have it pulled up in front of me. You probably do. So you just put yourself on the spot there. I need more wine.
No, I didn't. I put you on the spot, actually. April, tell us a little bit more about the Ghost Files.
Well,
if you can.
The Ghost Files is a series about a teenager. When the book started, she was 16. She was in foster care, which foster care is near and dear to my heart, so that is a great way to actually get some attention onto that particular institution here in the U.S. But this particular little girl can see ghosts. She's been able to see ghosts since she was 5 years old, when her mother tried to stab her to death.
Oh, wow.
So she's been in foster care since then. And she ignores the ghosts. Her theory's always been, if you don't talk to them and ignore them, they'll go away. So, excuse me.
Okay.
But unfortunately, she's now having to talk to the ghosts. And in this particular installment, it's the fourth installment in the book, there is children going missing in the town of Charlotte, North Carolina, which is her hometown now. And unfortunately, they've discovered that it is one of the fallen angels that fell with Lucifer. And he is attempting to gain enough soul fire, which is a collection of souls that he gets to maintain his presence on Earth. Usually he's only on Earth every 150 years to recharge and get new souls to feed him for the next 150 years. But he's about to discover a way that he can stay on Earth, and it's up to her to put him to rest. She's what's called a living reaper. She can actually see the souls of the dead, open the passageway so that they can actually move on to their next plane of existence. So... excuse me.
It's okay.
So it's up to I'm sorry. It's really a book about her figuring out the extent of her powers and learning to depend upon the people around her and learning to trust her grandfather, who she's discovered is the demon who's been stalking her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I do terrible at trying to explain these things right off the top of my head.
You put me on the spot, so they're like,
what's your book about? And I'm like, my mind goes completely blank, and I'll hand you the book. Here's the back cover.
Yeah, read it.
and I will say the covers of the book are so good. I actually sent, I think I sent one to you, James, the cover. So you
I
can
have
see
it. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It is. It's freaky, yes.
Yes,
yes, it's just that the eyes are just scary, yeah.
Yeah, I love the covers.
That is actually not the original cover.
Oh, really?
No?
We actually started with a completely different concept. it was something that I wanted to do, but we soon discovered that Robin Harper of Wicked by Design does all of my covers for the Ghost Files except for the original one. We soon discovered that the only way to do what I wanted to do was to hire a professional artist to actually sketch what we needed, which is quite costly. So we just went back to the drawing board and we came up with that.
That's awesome. That's really good. Yeah.
When you were talking about the book and you know, her being a reaper, it made me think of the short-lived show Dead Like Me. Did you ever see that?
I did not. My mom and my dad, my parents were quite fond of that.
I've never seen it.
I think I saw the pilot of that, and it sort of vanished.
Yeah.
So I kind of vaguely remember it. Vaguely remember it. But yeah.
I was a huge fan of the chick who played the Reaper. Her name was like Ellen somebody. I don't know. I just thought she was really cute, and she did a really good job. So I was really upset that I think it only lasted for like a season and a half or something like that, but it was really good. And
yeah.
You say Reaper, and my head just goes, you know, automatically to Reaper. And also the song that we had last week, the Que Sera Sera, the version that was, that we had on the show, that was from Dead Like Me. So.
Oh, right, gotcha. Yeah, that was a good version, actually. I must admit, I'm a big fan of the original Doris Day version, but that was good. There's somebody else did... the British artist Shakin' Stevens did a version of one of his albums, and that was really well done. That was really well done. You've never heard of him.
So, April, I was wondering, who do you like to read?
Well, I read a little bit of everything, from biographies to romance to science fiction to horror. If it's good, I will read it. I'm not biased in any way.
Yeah, do you have a favorite author? Maybe?
I read a lot of George R.R. Martin, Kim Harrison, Stephen King, Denise Grover Swank. It's just a huge variety of authors I like to read.
Yeah, I find that... I don't have as much time anymore as I would like to read. Oh, you sound so awful. I feel so bad. It hurts my ribs to hear you coughing like that. I was going to ask you about a reading, but now I don't know if I should. So
I could try. I know that... a lot of the, if any of the fans who did, I did post about it. They're probably curious to see because the first couple chapters are up on Wattpad to read, but they have to wait until the 20th because I didn't really send out any ARCs, bitch reader copies this time around. I think I sent out three. Two of them were contest winners, and then one is just to someone who really loves the series. But I think that they're probably going to look forward to hearing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, don't try and plow through all of it because see how far you can get. Yeah. Don't.
Yeah, I took a bunch of cold medicine before I got on just so I could breathe a little bit. So.
Okay.
And
it'll add atmosphere.
Yeah, Xena was telling me chug some NyQuil, and I'm like, no, that will knock me out in about 7 minutes.
Yeah, that stuff is lethal. Yeah,
it is. It will knock you out.
I've fallen victim to NyQuil, but I thought it's nothing much, you know. And I remember it knocking me out for a long time. But if you feel you're up to it, do you wanna have a go?
Yep, I can have a go.
Go.
Grab a word
go
for it. Here real quick.
Okay.
This is from probably around the middle of the book. It is the morgue scene. So I do get a little graphic sometimes when I describe the ghosts. So please, if you're queasy or whatever, just ignore it. I had one person tell me that I kind of grossed them out once with a description of a ghost there. So.
Oh, wow.
I try not to do that too much. Okay, so. I know I may let Christina read this. Excuse me. Okay. The elevators are slow, so I smash the down arrow repeatedly. I know it doesn't make it go any faster, but it helps me. When it finally dings and opens, I step aside as people file out. Once inside, I hit the first floor button and close my eyes to wait for the short ride to end. It's quiet and soothing in the elevator, and for the first time all day, I let out the deep breath I've been holding. I survived. Relief. I should be embarrassed and ashamed to feel relief, but I don't. Maybe that makes me the selfish person everyone thinks I am, but I survived. I survived. And I managed to save a person in the process. Eric will get the chance to live his life, and the Owens will have lost everything. It's a good day. At least that's what I tell myself when the elevator doors open and interrupts my mental bolstering. I step out and automatically turn left. I know the layout of the Carolinas Medical Center better than most. I've been here enough to know where everything is. Only I'm not in the hallway leading to the cafeteria. It's dim, and I can hear the clanking of pipes. Where the heck am I? The sound of the elevator doors closing made me turn and look. There's a big letter B lit up. I'm in the basement. Now, how did I end up in the basement? I press the up button and nothing happens. No lights, no whirring of the elevator. Nada. I see the stairwell door and try that, but it doesn't budge. I pound on the elevator button again and still nothing. Great. Just freaking great. I'm stranded in the basement with no phone. Letting out a sigh, turn around. Stinks down here. That's the first thing I notice. It's like they dumped all the old garbage and rotting food in one place and the stench took over. Funky garbage is a smell that I'm going to forever remember. The second thing I see is the sign up on the wall I'd missed. Sign on the wall that I'd missed before. We're in the basement, and there's only one thing they keep in the basement, the morgue. It's dim. The old lights overhead flicker and cast shadows over the walls. Cold, too. Freezing, really. I search the empty hallway. The first warning bell's going off in my head. Something's down here with me. Keeping my back against the wall, I inch away from the elevator door. The clank of the water pipe startles me and I jump. The white floor tile is dingy, stained. The green walls might have once been bright, but they haven't been painted in Lord knows how many years. They're discolored with what I don't even want to know. A whoosh of air curls through the ducts and I jump. The AC. It's just the AC kicking on. Deep breath, Maddie. Stay calm. A few months ago, I might have believed all I had to do was close my eyes and ignore them, but I know better now. Ghosts have the ability to physically hurt you. I've experienced it firsthand. A little girl's laughter floats down the Excuse me. A little girl's laughter floats down the hallway. I can't tell if it came from the left or the right. It just seems to fill up the space. The sound of running footsteps go right past me and straight toward the morgue. I'm not going into the morgue. Nope, not happening. Nothing is going to make me go into that morgue, except maybe the shuffling coming straight at me. I squeeze my eyes shut. God knows what type of horrific traffic victim is roaming the halls. Hospitals are flooded with ghosts. It's why I hate going anywhere near them. They haven't bothered me so much the last few times I was admitted, though. Why, I don't know, but that's changed. I saw them all night and again today when I came in, crowding around me, demanding help. But down here, in the dark with no one around, the regular ghosts don't congregate down here. Only the darkest ones roam the shadows, the ones that terrify the other ghosts. The stench of decay and rot surround me. I know you can see me. The words are hoarse and drawn out, like it's speaking through a long tunnel. It's right beside me, its foul breath skating over my cheek as it whispers in my ear. The cold seeps into my bones, the ache enough to make me wince. My body quivers when it pushes closer, its hot, rancid breath, all that I can inhale. I turn my face away, trying to escape the smell, but it invades my space. I inch a few more inches away from it so I can take a few shallow breaths. Look at me, it whispers, but I don't want to. I can feel its anger. If I don't look, it might do me some serious damage. I crack open my left eye and peer sideways. Disgust, horror, fear. I'm not sure which emotion to feel once I get a look at the ghost. Its face isn't really a face anymore. It's mostly a skull with chunks of flesh still sticking onto the bones. Only one eye remains, the green orb staring lazily at me. What little skin and tissue is left on its face are rotting, the pus oozing out. It drips to the floor, splattering my shoes. I watch more of it fall, the wet, sticky substance making this awful splat sound every time it falls. It's like its flesh is melting off of it, the tissue giving into infection and just falling away, the blackish disease mixture dripping down the bones. Then it smiles at me. And I'm going to have to cut it off there because I'm going to cough all night long.
That was awesome, though. And you did a great job
with being sick. Oh, yeah, I'm really, thank you for joining us. You've been sick. I feel terrible. You survived it. Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on the show, April, and asking if you'll come. I can't say will you come see us again because, you know, James make fun of me. So will you?
Because I'll embarrass you.
Yes. So what do I say if I don't say will you come see us again?
Well, you know, it's okay because I'm from the South, so we say that all the time, whether we're on the phone or just chatting in person. So.
So April's nicer than you, James. She will see us again.
Yeah. So where can we find it? It's out 20th of December. Amazon, all you outlets, April?
I can barely hear you, James. It's like your phone is breaking up on me.
My
fault. So, okay, Christina, just ask her where we can find the book.
Yeah, where can we find your books, April?
The Ghost Files series you could actually get from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks. You could also order them online through Walmart and Books A Million as well.
Okay.
The rest of my books are mostly through Amazon. You could go check me out on Amazon.com. All my books will be listed there. And you can pre-order the Ghost Files Volume 4 now, before it goes live on December 20th. And if you want to get a couple chapters in to see what the book is about, you are more than welcome to go to Wattpad. I am April Baker 7. You could read a couple chapters of the new one as well as read the entire first book for free on Wattpad.
Oh, wow. Awesome, awesome. I will put up those links on our Facebook page. And I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and I would definitely be in touch with you to come back on again.
Yeah, thank you, April. Get well.
I'll be sick.
Yes.
Okay.
Take some night going.
Okay, right.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, April. Get well. Okay. Christina, say goodbye.
Goodbye, Xtina.
Goodbye.